May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 765. And does thy heart for Jesus pine, and make its secret moan? He understands a sigh divine, and marks a secret groan. 765.
Together from the first epistle of John, and reading together from chapter 2, the first epistle of John and reading together from chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth for ever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us and help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, we have been spared mercifully by thy gracious hand, brought through the scenes of another week. Thou hast watched over us and preserved us. Thou hast been that one to put a wall of fire round about us. Thou hast defended us and protected us. Thou hast been that one to go before us in the way, and that we understand the blessing and the truth, that he will guide thee continually. And oh, to this moment of time, thou hast been that one to be with us in every part and aspect of our lives. Thou hast been, Lord, that one to supply all our needs temporally here below. But, oh Lord, there is something far deeper and far more blessed that thy poor needy people desire to seek and to know. And that is, Lord Jesus, more of those times and seasons of thy visitations towards us, drawing our hearts and our affections up unto thyself, and that we might be those brought into further union and fellowship with thee. For thou hast done great things for us. Oh, that thou hast delivered us from all our sins. Thou hast pardoned us. Thou hast brought us into a new and a living way. Thou hast brought us to feel and to seek after thee, the one thing needful to us. And oh, we do pray, Lord, as thou hast brought us, Lord, to this another Lord's Day in our pilgrimage journey, that we might again know what it is to seek thy face and be blessed, Lord Jesus, in this gathering according to thy promise, if it be thy gracious will, the twos and the threes that gather together in my name, and that thy Holy Spirit may come upon each one of us, both unto him that shall speak in thy name, and also unto those that are hearers, to be good ground hearers, through thy Spirit, Lord, Open the hearts of thy people here, that they may hear and receive thy word. O Lord, what a mercy it is that thou wilt work in us thy will and thy power, and that thou wilt prepare us for thyself, and that thou wilt show unto us the great and blessed and glorious truths of the gospel, and where the Lord Jesus Christ is so set forth unto thy people as that one who came to save them, deliver them from all their sins and iniquities, and to suffer, bleed and die for them in respect of those sins and iniquities. Oh, but Lord, art now risen from the dead, ascended unto God the Father to manage the cause and the interest of each one of us here below. Oh Lord, be that one to come into the lives of each one of us in a very real and spiritual way, that we might be those, Lord, that shall be taught at thy hand the deep needs of our souls, and the precious Christ be revealed in the gospel as that one indeed who came to seek and to save lost sinners and to gather them. Oh, we think, Lord, of that great mercy of the gospel, even of Shiloh, a full and free gospel and salvation for sinners. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And Lord, we pray that in this the assembly of thy house, oh, that thou wouldest, Lord, in thy rich mercy appear unto each one, youngest to the eldest, Lord, oh, that there might be a gathering, oh, that there might be a beginning, Lord, a work of grace in the souls of each. He that hath begun a good work in you. And oh Lord, we pray, oh, that each one indeed found before thee may be true seekers in Zion, desiring to know their portion with thee, the redeemed, the saved of thy people. And O Lord, to be gathered unto God the Father, or into that adoption of children through Christ Jesus. Oh, what a mercy it is then, Lord, to be one of the family of thy grace. Do draw near to us, Lord. Enlarge our poor souls upon thy word, upon thy truth. We come, Lord, poor and needy in and of ourselves, and oftentimes spiritually impoverished, Lord, spiritually feeling to be so empty of all that is good, feeling oftentimes, Lord, to be in darkness and no light, and oftentimes, Lord, even as thy servant David, my soul lies cleaving to the dust. Oh, but quicken thou me according to thy word. Oh, come, Lord, the Son of righteousness, arising with healing in his wings into our poor souls, to impart life and light into our hearts, to reveal a precious Christ to us, to quicken us, to enliven us, and to bring the comfort and peace of the gospel into our poor souls, that our souls might live spiritually upon thyself. Oh, do come to each one of us, Lord, and oh, may it be that we shall be enabled to record this day in our poor souls that we have been with Jesus. Oh, is not that the ultimate blessing, Lord, we pray? Oh, do leave a token in our poor souls Touch our hearts, dear Lord, we pray thee, that we might be enabled, Lord, to know again that thou hast been with us, and that these tokens may indeed be those high heaps and waymarks in the way, where we can bear testimony to thy great mercy to us, that thou hast met with us in the way. And, O Lord, a token of heaven, that we are in that heaven-bound journey, and that, O Lord, it is a struggle, and, Lord, to come forth through that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Troubles abound, conflicts, warfare, afflictions, trials and tribulations. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Oh, but Lord, what a mercy it is, if thine overruling hand be found in all these things, that they may be those all things that work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Oh, Lord, we do pray, come to each one of us, then, Lord, may we know a little of that restoring of our souls unto thyself. Oh, cause the rich streams of living waters to flow into our poor souls, and where thou art indeed to thy people, the fountain of living waters. Oh, come, Lord, then refresh and renew, reveal thyself to us in all thy gracious offices and characters, to meet all our deep needs in the gospel, so varying and so differing, dear Lord, are our needs. Thou knowest them, Lord, and we tell them often unto thee, Lord, often coming to the throne of grace, tell thee all our troubles, all those concerns, and, Lord, oftentimes those things that beset us in our path, besetting sins, word, thought, and deed, and, oh, oft times brought, Lord Jesus, to that place, thy servant Paul, that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, is the experience of thy poor people here below. But, oh, we do thank thee, Lord, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that we have someone to turn to, someone who is indeed a refuge for poor, needy sinners, and that the fountain of thy precious blood is open still today for all those who feel their sin and uncleanness. Oh, to come for healing, for restoring. Lord, we pray and thank thee that thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do draw near to us each then, Lord, we pray. Be with us each in all our path, Lord. Yea, each one of us, but we pray for the young, the children before us, and Lord, that thou wilt be with them and guide them even in their young and tender years into all truth. Oh, that thou wilt work in them, Lord, graciously, and the visitations of themselves to the house of thy prayer. O Lord, we do pray thee that through thy Spirit may have an influence upon them, to keep them, Lord, and to preserve them, Lord, and oh, that they may ultimately, we pray thee, be drawn to thee, that they might be thy children. We prayerfully commit them into thine ever-merciful hands, And those, Lord, our young friends before us, and passing through education and then into occupation, O Lord, do direct them, lead them, Lord. And if any, Lord, indeed before thee here, have troubles, concerns in respect of these things, help them to venture to the throne of grace, that though things may seem to be hard and difficult with us, nothing is too hard for thee. Oh, do come to all their help. Lord, help them to venture their all upon thee, to lead them, to direct them through their course. Oh, but Lord, we do pray that they may be drawn to thee with a felt need of that salvation that is in Jesus Christ, and that precious blood that he shed to cleanse and to heal from all sin and defilement. O Lord, we pray thou knowest, that there may be a gathering in, Lord, in this thy house of prayer. We pray for these things thou knowest in this dark and evil day in which we live. We pray that there may, Lord, be a rejoicing this day over one sinner that repenteth. O Lord, do undertake the cause and the interest of thy church and people here. Be with them continually as they gather together in thy name. Hear all the prayers and the petitions of the saints as they are offered up unto thee. And O Lord, be unto them prayer hearing and prayer answering. And O Lord, we commit them into thy hands. We pray that there may be a spiritual prosperity, Lord, in the souls of thy people. O Lord, if any be found to be slothful in a state of lethargy, Lord, O raise them up out of it, Lord. O do, Lord, grant that thy word and thy truth indeed may bring them and restore them, Lord, and show to them, Lord, their need of the Lord to keep them and to preserve them. But help them, Lord, to walk as children of the light and children of the day, seeking thy face, Lord. And so undertake for each one of thy people here in all their path, their homes, their families, Lord. Hear the prayers of thy people, Lord, in their homes and families, and the reading of the scriptures, Lord, bless it to them. About their workplace and occupation, employment, O Lord, be that one to be with them in every part of their lives, Lord, and to commit all things that concern them into thine ever merciful hands. We pray, Lord, for those unable to attend the means of grace at this time. Do draw near to them, Lord, where they are. We prayerfully commit them unto thee, Lord. We're brought to discover time and again the shortness and the brevity of our lives here below. Only but a few years, 80 years, a few more if blessed by the Lord. But what are they, Lord, compared with eternity? Oh, they cannot be measured truly in any comparison, Lord. Oh, but teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. O Lord, do grant prayer and supplication in the hearts of those laid aside. O Lord, that thou wilt draw them by the cords of thy love unto thyself. And Lord, show them their need as sinners. Show them, Lord, thy rich mercy and salvation through the blood of the Lamb of God. Oh, that blood that was shed for sinners, Lord, we do pray come to them. And oh, Lord, bring them, Lord, in their latter years to have a hope in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, may it be, Lord, that thou wilt be that one, Lord, to lift them up, Lord, and to show to them that thou art their Saviour and their Redeemer. Lord, be with us. Now we thank thee for the gospel. We pray that it may be proclaimed this day in all its blessedness and fullness as Christ is revealed to thy people, that good news of salvation, but all that the scriptures hold in thy word for poor needy sinners to live upon and to be blessed by. We pray, Lord, help thy servants to proclaim thy gospel, standing forth upon the walls of Zion. Give them utterance, Lord, in thy name. And Lord, we thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for the comfort and the peace of the gospel. May it be blessed to the souls of thy people today. Lord, do draw near to thy servant and help him, that he may be enabled to speak in thy name the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, be mouth, matter, and wisdom for him, Lord. Through thy Spirit, teach him what to say. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt by thy Spirit take of the things of Jesus, show them unto us. Oh, that thy word may prosper whereto thou wilt send it. And bless thy people, Lord, that they may be profited in their souls, growing in grace and knowledge of thee. We seek and ask these mercies in and through the name and person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 579. Salvation, O my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. He speaks, and that almighty voice proclaims his grace abroad. 579.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the first epistle of John, chapter 2, and reading from verse 12 and 13. First epistle to John, chapter 2, reading from verse 12 and 13. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. John was blessed with many years in the preaching and in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived to be the eldest amongst the apostles. He was one who passed through many experiences for the name and for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Ultimately, he was one indeed sent into, well, I would say bondage, but he wrote the wonderful revelation through the Spirit of the Lord, but he was banished to the Isle of Patmos. And he was banished there because he loved the gospel, because he loved the word, and because he loved the dear Lord Jesus and was ready to suffer all things for his name's sake. But he was one indeed in and through the many years that he passed through. Particularly we may think of his discipleship and his apostleship to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is one that is able to write such an epistle as this, to exhort, to warn, but also to help and to bless the Lord's people with gracious promises. And so John, greatly used as an instrument in the Lord's hand, not only in the preaching of the gospel, but in the writing of these epistles. And we do pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will give unto us an ear to hear the gracious things that are spoken to us through the word. It begins, my little children, and that is the truth in respect of the words of our text, little children. But he says, my little children, it may be that there may be those indeed who are were blessed under the ministry of John, and that they are his spiritual children, and he is their spiritual father. That is a wonderful mercy, indeed, if that is the case. Little children, really, although they may be spiritual children, blessed under the ministry of John, but really, the children of God. And that is the blessing. And it is to these that he writes, either his spiritual children, or indeed, as they will be, undoubtedly the children of God. These things Write I unto you. Oh, may we have ears to hear and hearts to understand. Write I unto you. And that the Lord Jesus Christ set forth but to the Lord's dear people, and if any man sin, the Lord's dear people sin, can they sin? The Lord's dear people changed, renewed by grace, brought to seek the Lord and to follow him, and to serve him, to love his name, to adore him, to be true followers and disciples of him, sin? Yes, dear friends, sin. I feel it to be so, and day by day, feel it to be so, that I'm all sin. Many failings, many shortcomings. Sins in word and thought and deed. A body of death. And when I would do good, evil is present with me. But I do believe that the Lord's dear people will know a little something of this. He's writing to the church, my little children, and if any man sin, God's little children, and if any man sin, yes. Sin is mixed in all we think and do and say. Sin will be an inveterate enemy within us all our days, all our journey through. Sin will be that that will be more prayed about, more confessed and more repented of. Following grace, dear friends, it will be a life of confession, a life of repentance, realizing solemnly the truth and the matter of sin that is continually working in and upon us. Oh, dear friends, we wouldn't in our right minds sin and offend against God at all. Not at all. Oh, how often we're brought to hate ourselves because of sin. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, but the word, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. This is our mercy. And to him, the Lord's dear people will flee. For it is he alone that holds our pardon and peace through the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. And this is our mercy today. That we have a refuge, a hiding place to which we can flee and turn to. And then John speaketh of love. And love is the very root and the beginning, the whole matter of our salvation, love. Love began with us, dear friends. The love of our God to sinners. The love of our God in the person of his dearly beloved Son. That is where the love of our God is shown to us. But let us just come to the words of our text in respect of this. I write unto you, little children. Again, he is writing Oh, may we be blessed with hearing ears. May the Holy Spirit speak these words into our poor souls. I write unto you, little children. Who are these little children? They're the saints of God. They have been made little children. Grace hath made them to be little children. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples, says this: Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is a great mercy to be one of these little children here. One that has been humbled under the mighty hand of God. One that has been brought to nothing to see their sin, their foolishness and folly. And then this truth, because these here, spoken of these little children, they were children of wrath. They were children of darkness. They were children of the devil. Oh, we cannot escape from that truth. That is what they were. But now, John writing to them, I write unto you, little children, because of that divine change that has been wrought in their souls, that change through grace. They have been brought to feel and to know their sins and iniquities. And when the Holy Spirit will teach us our sins and our iniquities, and the guilt of that sin is laid upon our consciences, it will bring us low. It will break up all the hardness and the rebellion in our hearts. It will humble us. It will consume all our own strength, all our own so-called knowledge and understanding and intellect. Sin, it will bring us to nothing, helpless. We will see the ruin of the fall in us. This is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. A gracious work. It will afflict us. It will burden us. It is intended and purposed that we shall come to that place where sin will be abhorrent to us. A work of grace. And this is the beginning. To reveal that awful monster of sin that lies within us. The whole of the ruin of the fall. The whole of the vanity of our lives here below, the lives that we lived, the evil in our hearts, the corruptions of our nature, the heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, all opened up and disclosed to us, and a God who is holy and just and true. And hateth all sin. sin then will render us helpless. This is a part of God's love and grace in the soul of a sinner. This is the beginning, that love that we spoke of, that love that began with us, and now that love, and through the Holy Spirit teaching and showing us the solemn truth of our sin, and then this truth brought with a hope in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. The whole of that, the whole of salvation, the whole of the glad tidings of the gospel is found in two words: love and forgiveness. That is the wholeness of the gospel. That is the wholeness of salvation: love and forgiveness. No other words. That love of our God is in the gift of his dearly beloved Son into this world. There was a covenant made between God the Father and the Son. That covenant was made before the foundations of the world. And Jesus undertook all the transactions. Jesus undertook all those things laid out in the covenant, whereby God loved a people and will have a people to be his own peculiar choice people. And Jesus undertook all that was revealed and all that was shown and all that was agreed in that covenant of grace. And God saith this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus said, I come to do thy will, O God. Ah, dear friends, you see, this is the covenant engagement that Jesus undertook. The agreement. It cannot fail in any part or aspect of it. God said, I will give thee to be a covenant of the people. I will give thee. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, hear the wonderful words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. I giveth, who giveth his life for the sheep. His heavenly Father gave, and Jesus gave his life. Where is the wholeness of this agreement shown to us, of this covenant that was made between Father and Son? I believe it is in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53. There is the agreement. There is the covenant in that chapter. Read it, dear friends. This is the undertaking of Jesus. He hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, that was the agreement. You see, Jesus willingly and lovingly undertook that agreement, becoming mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, one to intercede, see the truth again. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That is the covenant engagement between Father and Son. Jesus came and undertook it for who? These little children, these that were sinners, these that were the children of wrath, these that were the children of the devil. That is what Jesus came to do, to make intercession, to become their surety. Dear friends, when we sang that second hymn together, why, that is the whole of the picture. So exacting, so perfect, this salvation. There's nothing for the sinner to do, dear friends. It is love and forgiveness. Yes, the sinner is made meet, but I'm speaking of salvation. So blessedly and freely shown to us in the gospel of Jesus. It is love and forgiveness, the words of our text. Oh, how wonderful, how grand the plan. All deity engaged to rescue rebel ruined man from Satan's power and rage. Ah, the Father loved us ere we fell, and will forever love. Nor shall the powers of earth or hell his love from Zion move. 'Twas love that moved him to ordain a surety, just and good. That is the blessing. That is the mercy, to become a surety for his dear people, children. And that there is forgiveness with him. Love and forgiveness. Oh, it is with him to pardon crimson sins. Oh, the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, to pardon them, to put them away. God hath highly exalted him to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And this man is preached today. This man is preached in the gospel today, of one who is able to pardon crimson sins. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. This is the blessing. This is the mercy shown to these children. not that they were deserving of it or merited it or deserved it in any way. No, the Lord's dear people will never come to that kind of thought. No, they're the most unworthy to have received it, because they've been singled out in a very real and personal way, that they should know and experience the love of God. This is the theme of John in this epistle. It is love, and love to the brethren, but love to sinners, and forgiveness. It begins, if any man sin. And then in the first chapter, we read another truth, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, all manner of sin. The whole of the unrighteousness of thy life. All past offences, everything, all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, this word came upon my spirit. I was on holiday last week, but oh, this word came upon my poor mind. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, that infinite, that precious blood, efficacious blood. Oh, that blood that is able to cleanse and to wash away and to heal forever the mass of our sins and iniquities. I have blotted out as a thick cloud, a thick cloud. Yes, the whole density, the whole multitude of thy sins I have blotted out as a thick cloud, thy transgressions, and a cloud thy sins. Then return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Oh, we might think, well, things seem to be the wrong way round. He's already blotted out our sins as a thick cloud. And then he says, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Return. Oh, dear friends, this transaction was first undertaken in heaven before time began. Return unto me. Oh, it must be a truth, dear friends. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Oh, it was God that loved thee. God that loved thee. It was he that determined to have thee to be his child. And his love, dear friends, it was sovereign, it was free. I will heal their backslidings and love them freely. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, he loved his people before time began. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Oh, isn't it the truth? For his name's sake. See the blessing of that in the person of his dearly beloved Son. We may see here Jesus undertaking, passing through those awful scenes at Calvary. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Oh, for thy name's sake. And Jesus was that one indeed that fulfilled I have fulfilled, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Oh, dear friends, that we should be gathered in to be his children. Oh, but are there those today burdened, exercised, tried in respect of their sins, seeking, praying, comers to Jesus? Friends, there is mercy here. It is what Jesus alone has done. What Jesus has undertaken. He is the surety of his people. He has paid all their debts. He has borne the wrath of God which is due to thee, the curse of a broken law which thou hast broken. Yes, Jesus bore all for the sinner. And friends, as I described, the sinner will be made meet. There's nothing for the sinner to do. You see, it is God that loved. It is Jesus that came to do everything for us. And it is the Holy Spirit that works everything in us. You see, there's nothing for the sinner to do. Nothing. Salvation is of grace. It is free, sovereign grace. We will be made meet. And the Lord knows how to bring us to that place of humbleness and meekness. It is he that hath spoken and said that I will put within them a new heart, a heart of flesh. I will do it. There's nothing for the sinner to do. There's no duty faith, dear friends. I know some, when first exercised, oh, they sought to live such an upright life, and they sought to keep the holy law of God. Oh, but they failed miserably. Oh, one I speak to tried. Oh, but they failed miserably. It was this truth that they came to. All has been done for them. Jesus, a full and free gospel, a salvation for sinners. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. You see, God was in Christ, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It is only God that can pardon sinners, dear friends. And we see God in Christ. Jesus, the Son of Man, he alone hath power in earth to forgive sins. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. You know, it is a wonderful time and season when the poor sinner is brought to know their pardon through the blood and righteousness of Jesus, that precious infinite blood, able to cleanse and able to heal from all sin, from all defilement. Until, dear friends, there is no doubt about this. It is as if they have never sinned at all. It must be so, dear friends, that such is the precious blood of Jesus. Such is its power and efficacy to cleanse, to wash away, remove all guilt and defilement, as if we have never sinned. That is Christ's atonement. That is his finished work at Calvary. The church are pure and holy, without spot and wrinkle. They're complete as they stand forth in the blood and righteousness of Jesus. Oh, this blessed truth I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. These fathers may be those that have continued and come into blessed and glorious experiences and knowledge of the dear Lord. They are those that continue to grow in grace and knowledge of me. It may appear that these are those that have now been in the way and for some time, and they have passed through many experiences. They have known many deliverances. They have known the rich mercy of God. They have understood and been blessed by his promises. These fathers and the experiences that they've passed through here below, they're sojourning, they're journeying, they're going forth in his name. I write unto you, fathers, and those that particularly, perhaps, yes, many years, seeking the Lord, knowing and venturing so often to the throne of grace, so many experiences, and there are those that we may be able to look up to, to follow in their faith, if you like, because they have been observed and seen and beheld faithful to the Lord. I write unto you, fathers, and it may be, dear friends, that they may be looked up to. And, you know, if we're journeying in the way and that we're seekers, we must look up to these that are the fathers, these that have endured affliction, these that have passed through trials and difficulties, these that have known the temptations of sin and Satan, these that also have grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord, these who have sought him through the scriptures and prayed over the Holy Spirit to teach them, to reveal God's greater love and mercy to them, further manifestations. I write unto you, fathers, dear friends, let us not fear. Let us not fear to inquire of them, to seek of them. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Book of remembrance was set up. We may need guidance. We may need someone to point to the scriptures for us. I know that in my younger days, the experience of the saints, the fathers, it was good to hear them. We used to conclude the Lord's Day services, the evening services on Lord's Day, and a few of the Lord's dear people would collect together, perhaps have a cup of tea in there. But it's just as if the services went on all night, dear friends. Through the evening, they spake of many experiences and where the Lord had met with them and delivered them, where they had known and understood the mercy of the Lord. Doesn't seem to be something evident in these days. But I've been in the experience of it. And dear friends, what a teaching it can be. A solemn, reverential fear seemed to come upon my spirit, even in the days of my unregeneracy. Reverent, that God had worked amongst these people, these men, these women, these fathers here, whose faith follow, you see. What a help it can be. I write unto you, fathers, and it is good. Fathers, that there may be that teaching, that instruction, as the Lord will lead, to guide, and to point to Jesus, to teach. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Just in this, there was just one thought that I had in respect to knowing him from the beginning. And it was in Isaiah chapter 9. My mind went to this truth. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, can we not see here, dear friends, the blessing of this truth, him that is from the beginning, the I Am, the God of heaven and earth, the Creator, he that spake all things into being. But oh, the person of his dearly beloved Son, he said unto Moses, I am that I am. Tell the people, I am that I am. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the dead. Oh, I am. See that in the person of Jesus. See the truth here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, I do believe that it might be a right interpretation of this, but this is just that my mind went to this thought. Because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Oh, Jesus said unto Philip, if ye have seen me, ye have seen the Father. You see, show us the Father and it will suffice with us. What a mercy it is, dear friends. This is the truth. From the beginning, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Isn't it Jesus that bore with him the love of God the Father? He preached that love. He showed that love in the miracles that he came to perform. And he showed that love in Gethsemane and Calvary. Known him from the beginning. It may be from the beginning of our experience under grace. It may be with each one of us here now there is a beginning. You've known him from the beginning. That is from the beginning. But oh dear friends, to know him, to be thy Saviour and Redeemer, to know him, to be the altogether lovely one, to know him, that he might be the treasure of thine heart, that he might be thy all in all. Oh, such a precious truth, to know him. If the Lord has begun, then, dear friends, he will continue. Oh, but friends, to pray and to know him, that he might be thy all and everything. What a mercy it is. To be one of those born of God, born again of God, the Holy Spirit. It means born from heaven. That ye have known him that is from the beginning. We may just have a thought in respect of that as I just consider this. Do pray that the Lord will lead us and teach us and draw us, bring us to himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and his delight was with the sons of men. Even before the world began, his delight was with the sons of men. Oh, friends, pray that he had a delight for thy poor soul. Friends, thy soul is so valuable and so precious. Friends, if you were to gain the whole world and lose your own soul, friends, if we were to lose this precious gift, the gift of his dearly beloved Son, we should be left in our misery, dear friends. Oh, there is nothing so precious here than to have Christ in possession, the pearl of great price in our poor souls, Jesus. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. The young men, perhaps young and tender in years, just coming to the way as it might be, or might seem, young men. Those who have passed probably through lesser experiences. Oh, but these young men, you see, they're following, they're disciples, they're serving, they're worshipping, they love the ordinances of the Lord's house, they delight to be where the Lord is and where he is found in the midst of his people. They sing his praise, they call upon his name, these young men. They're running, as it were, in the ways of Jesus. Oh, let us not be ashamed of Jesus, dear friends. Do not be ashamed amongst men to profess his name, to use his name, to speak his name. Friends, there's so many following the broad way to destruction, dear friends. Don't be ashamed if Jesus has brought thee into a new, a straight and a narrow way. It's the way of life. Do not fear to speak well of his name. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Very clearly shown to us, dear friends, that it is the wicked one, the devil, Satan, the strong man arm that dwells within us as we are born into this world. But now his temptation, now these young ones redeemed and saved, And yet Satan still, oh dear friends, he'll cheat thee. It's his one object, dear friends, now is to regain that that he has lost. You see, Jesus came and destroyed his works within us. That's what Jesus came to do. It is shown to us. He came to destroy the works. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil in us by nature, as we are born into this world. We're far from God, dear friends, alien and strangers to him. Oh, but Jesus came and thrust him out. He cast him out forever. This is one of the mercies. And now he is a tempter. Now, with all his craft and spleen, seeks again to devour thy soul, a roaring lion. Oh, but these young ones, they have overcome the wicked one. They have overcome him. Is it anything in themselves? No, it isn't. Oh, in another place, it says that they are overcomers through faith. Oh, that God-given faith. That faith, dear friends, that will help them to serve and to follow the Lord, to despise and turn their back upon his temptations, all the pleasures of this life, this world. And as we have read together in this word, this truth, for all that is in the love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's of the devil, dear friends. All the pleasures and the vanities of this life. He's the wicked one. He continues to be wicked, dear friends. I don't know if there's any ultimate wickedness, but all wickedness is in him. It will never change, and it will pursue thee. But this truth, overcome the wicked one. Just a thought in respect of this. Our time is gone. Kept you a little late. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, pray for the blessing and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon thee. The graces of the Spirit to keep thee humble, to keep thee low, to keep thee in the love of Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us, you see. Oh, may the love of Christ, that love, dear friend, that will overwhelm thy soul, oh, and prevent thee and keep thee from this world and from the tempter. And then this truth, put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, dear friends, the shield of faith, bear it, carry it, and then his word. Oh, his word, dear friends, that take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Oh, isn't that, friends, another weapon of our warfare? Praying always. Oh, this truth. But I'm afraid our time is gone. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Dear friends, what a mercy this is, little children, those just in the way, those beginning, maybe those indeed, because ye have known the Father, known his love, known his mercy, known his dearly beloved Son, for thy salvation, known the Father. I close on this point, dear friends. This is the greatest blessing that can come to any poor sinner, any poor needy sinner. This truth, that ye have known the Father. Oh, seek to know the Father, because then we shall be his children, his family, the family of his grace. Oh, we shall be in his house. Oh, dear friends, this is the blessing. Pray for it. Oh, let it be that one thing needful to thy soul, to know Christ and him crucified. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £735, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 920. When to worship saints assemble, let the song to Jesus flow. He forsook his ancient glory, groaned and bled for worms below, ransomed mortals, joined to swell the sacred song. 920.
grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion, God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.